Now, the word hope has been devalued quite a lot. There are three big words that come at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, I think, which you often hear. Now, these three things remain: love, hope, and faith. And each three of those things has been devalued in its understanding. We have taken love to mean romantic attachment. I'm in love with that. Oh, I love that. Oh, I love you. Love you. And we've missed out on what sacrificial love means in terms of loving others more than yourself. The love that we're talking about there is the love that these guys have for their kids. It's the love that a parent can never lose. It's the love that aches in you for someone. That's the meaning of that. The same is true of faith. It's been misinterpreted. And the same is true of hope. For most of us, when we use the word hope, we say, oh, I hope so. You know, something will happen. Oh, I hope so. It almost means the weakest form. In our vernacular, it means the kind of the weakest form of, I'm not really all that confident. But the Bible's form of hope is utter certainty. It means absolute assurity. When we say, when it talks about hope for future and for eternity together, it means utter assurance. And part of what we're going to, I believe God wants to do today as we wait on Him, as we've heard, is for Him, if that's something that you need to know, that He would exchange your, I hope it's going to be okay, I hope I might make it to heaven, I hope this is true, to an utter, certainty that can't be moved, that can't be shaken. Because that's what God can do. For in Christ, all will be made alive. So I want to pray for his family, his mum and dad, Gordon and Lucy, and his sister Arabella, her husband Gareth. You know, they're all raw. And as many of you have ever had to do this sort of thing, just at the moment when you want to close the doors, shut everyone out and just grieve, you have to go through this process of communicating and filling out forms and doing just things that you're never prepared to do. And so we want to pray for comfort for them and let them know that we're with them, and we will stand with them, especially at the funeral. And I was speaking to this week, they said Dominic never did being down. If you knew Dominic, you knew he never did being down. He did quite the opposite. And also, Dominic never did anything he didn't want to do. So some of you might have thought, oh, those poor old Dom, those carers have just wheeled him in here and have brought him to church. It was the reverse was true. He insisted that coming to church was part of his care package, which meant that they all had to do what he said, and they had to come and bring him here. So, you know, there was never a time when you connected with Dom when you didn't see that sparkle in his eyes and that mischief. And we want to remember that, and we want, as we do this funeral together, we want to reflect that and bring that hope and that life to that family who probably don't have what we have. So, Father, I just thank you for Dom. Thank you for his life. Thank you for the extended life he had in which he was able to continue to bless more and more people. Thank you for the adventures that he went on. Thank you for everything that he did despite all the limitations that were thrown at him. And Father, I just pray for comfort for those who are shocked, who are in mourning, who are just trying to come to terms with the whys and what happened. And Lord, just be with them today. Let them know your touch. Let them know and fill them with hope that there is a life after this. This temporal short existence is nothing in comparison to eternity with each other and with you. And Lord, I just pray wherever they are, they would be encouraged today in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a great hymn Great is thy faithfulness. The line it has is, strength for today, fresh hope for tomorrow. And hope is one of those things that I believe is a consumable. It's like the manna of the Old Testament. You can't keep it from one day to the next. It needs to be fresh. Although I've spoken about a certainty that I have, it is a constantly refreshed certainty. Every time that I go to God, He refills and refreshes every element that needs hope. And that is the key. That is the challenge. That God has what we need, but do we understand that principle, and do we therefore do what we need to get fresh hope? Romans 15 and verse 13. This scripture says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In the New Living, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope. I like that. God is the source of hope. If there is any hope to be had in this world, it will have emanated, it will have started from God. And I don't know about you, but, when Morrissey, I don't know if you know Morrissey, when Morrissey is singing Don't Watch the News, we're all in trouble. I mean, that is a man who likes to be depressed, and he's singing Don't Watch the News because it's just all too much. I don't know about you, but for me, watching the news is a challenge to not become hopeless. I mean, continue to pray for your compassion children, because Kisumu is where the elections and all the trouble is happening in Kenya. That's where our kids are in that community. And you know, it becomes real when you know someone or you think about someone who's right in the middle of that situation. But we are not to become hopeless. That is no good for us. And you know what? It's no good for the world. Bill Hybels, Willow Creek Church in America, one of his ongoing sayings is, the local church is the hope of the world. Now, I believe that the local church, in the sense of us as a community of Christians, are the hope of the world. We need to be so filled with hope that it not only impacts our life, but we have enough to give away. If you carry on reading this, it says that He will fill you with joy and peace. In the NIV, it says, with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to get not second-hand or third-hand, you go to the source. I don't know if you've ever been into those sort of highlands of Scotland and you see a stream and you think, this stream is coming out of this mountain. We're getting close. You know, I don't know if you might have ever got to a place where it's just, that is where it begins. That is the source. And I would encourage you that's what God wants us to do. We've heard today, as we wait upon the Lord, He will renew our strength. He will renew our hope. And hope is an emotion, okay? That sounds a bit strange, but the only thing that we can't give to each other is the emotion that someone needs. I would love to be able to give physically comfort and peace to Dom's family and parents, but I can't. I can tell them all sorts of things. I can inform them. I can put my arms around them and I can hug them. But I actually can't communicate or give to them the emotion that is missing in them, which will change them. And that's the same with hope. Hope is something that when God gives it to you, it changes everything instantaneously and you become filled with peace about the situation and joy. Peace that passes understanding, so you're no longer churning the process over and over again, and you're not revving the engine of your mind trying to figure it out, and joy that actually fills you with strength that it's going to happen. Now, nothing has changed at that point necessarily, but you have hope. And someone without hope is a desperate situation. And someone with hope is unstoppable. And I believe that that's what God is wanting to say to us and encourage us to do today. In Hebrews 6 and 19, it says hope is an anchor for our soul. So when we get hope, it steadies the ship. It steadies where we're at. We're not flying one way or the other. Life, as God designed us, is to be in balance. I've got 2 feet, and I'm getting, you know, I'm not yet at the point where I can't stand on 1 foot. But there's a reason that I was designed with 2 feet, and that's for balance. And there's a reason that we were designed to be interdependent with God and each other, and that's to bring balance. And when we're disconnected from God, we lose balance. And when we're disconnected from each other, we lose balance. First of all, we need to anchor our souls to God. We need to look at Him. We need to focus on Him. We need to go to Him. It's interesting that in, I don't think I gave you this one, Ella, but in Philippians, it talks about Jesus. And it's easy to sort of say, well, Jesus was God, so it was okay for Him. It wasn't so much of a problem. And there was great arguments about whether Jesus was still God or whether He was human. And that can be bounced back and forth theologically. But in Philippians 2 and verse 7, it said, but may, this is of Jesus, or 6, it says, who being your attitude, I'll go back to 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing. Many of the translations say He emptied Himself. And I believe that Jesus did that for a reason, to show us the example of what we to do. Jesus didn't come with a kind of reserve, a bit of spare. I'm not sure how things are going to go, so I'm going to keep 10% of my godliness so that I can use that at any point, kind of banked. He emptied Himself, so that He had to live completely dependent on the Father. And that's what all of what we're talking about is to get us to the point. It's to get us to the point where we no longer think we can do it. We no longer think we've got what we need. We're not talking about trying to improve ourselves so that we can do it. We have come to the conclusion that, you know what, we can't, but He can. And at the moment you do that, you step off the staircase and you step onto the escalator. And you step off the thing with the staircase, I don't know whether you picture, but if I picture a long staircase, I'd think of Rocky. When the film Rocky, when he gets to the top and he starts going, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, and it's all about him. I've made it to the top of the stairs. When you get to the top of the escalator, you know it wasn't you who did it. And part of understanding how to get this hope is to understand that its source, it comes from God. And it will change us and it will transform us, but we've not under our own strength. In that passage in Romans, it says, so that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We, to be the hope of the world, we need to be those who, when people contact and get in touch with us, or touch our lives, or squeeze us, what comes out of us is hope. What comes out of us is the genuine article. Now, again, quite a famous book from Good to Great, Jim Collins. Many of you might have read it in terms of industry. And in it, he gives an example of someone who was in a prisoner of war camp. And he said, who survived and came back. And he, as they were interviewing the guy, said, well, who were the people who went first? Who are the people who gave up first? And he said, well, you'd be surprised. The people who gave up first were the optimists. Now, I'm a bit of an optimist. I found that a bit of a worry. But he said, the optimist said, don't worry, we'll be out of it by we'll be out of this by Easter. We'll be rescued. The Easter came and they weren't rescued. And they said, slightly less optimistically, don't worry, by Christmas it'll be okay. And in their own strength, they continued to try and project the hope that people needed. When it didn't happen at Christmas time, they gave up, and they gave up hope, and that was the end of them. It was the people who were able to face the darkest situations and still carry on. Because what people need when you bring them a situation is not something glib that, oh, I hope it'll be okay, and don't worry, it'll be. They need you to, again, turn and get from the Father what they haven't got, which is hope. For you to pray hope into them, but for you to speak with the words from heaven. And you know what? That might not be something glib. That might not be something that they want to hear. But it will be genuine that whatever happens, you will not be forsaken. That God will never leave you. You can speak absolute certainties into their lives. That however dark it comes, that what the Bible says is X, Y, or Z. You know, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you start speaking what you're hearing from God, and it has a transformation of their thinking and their emotions. And then pray that into them. If people found that their interaction with Christians was more like that, I think we would have more opportunities to say, as it says in 1 Peter, be ready to give a reason for your hope. Now, actually, that's a little bit of a misquote, because it says, when asked. What we do is we get ready to tell people things they're not asking. If they see something in your life, how are you doing that? Then you get an opportunity to say, you know what? There is a source of limitless power that you have the ability to connect to, but you're disconnected to. The good news is I'm connected to it. And because I am, I can give you what I'm being given. As I have received, so I can give. If you haven't been given hope, then you're probably better off keeping your mouth shut, because it's not going to help people. Someone says, I'm in a terrible situation. Oh, I know, but you should hear my situation. We one-up ourselves with disasters. In the midst of trouble, God is there, and it's fresh. And it may be that you need to turn to Him every moment of every day for a long time before you're trained in and have the capacity to hold enough of that hope to get you through a whole day or to get you through a whole week. But when the situation comes, we need to be those who have not only hope for ourselves, but we overflow, we abound, we lack nothing. We have it for others. That's what Jesus did. If you look at all the stories of Jesus throughout the Bible, he brought hope. And he brought the truth, but first of all, he brought hope. Quite often we are bringing emotion, we are bringing information which isn't helping people before they've got any of their emotional balance, and hope will bring you that. You know what? It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. You're not on your own. Then people are ready to listen. We heard a story today as we were preparing and praying about someone who had been through a tragic situation of their wife dying just after giving birth. And they felt at the funeral an arm around their shoulder. Not only did they feel it, but as they looked on their suit jacket, they saw the indentations of fingers on their jacket, and they heard a voice saying, "I'm never going to leave you. That is, once you know that, and you have hope that that is true, then you can hear that it's maybe not going to be easy. You know that God will never leave you or forsake you. And sometimes we're trying to cure the thing that is missing with either a massive amount of intellect, and if I can think this through, I can get it sorted, or we're just kind of ignoring it and saying, as long as I'm kind of happy, as long as I do things that make me happy and I can forget it all. But both of those extremes don't work. The answer is to trust in Him so that He will fill you with His peace and His joy. Ephesians 1 and verse, well, we'll read a few verses, but this is a prayer. From verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and the incomparable great power for us who believe. I mean, you could never get to the end of those statements, because once you are facing God and once you've understood that He is the source of all hope, then you understand actually He's the source of everything that I need, and I require a connection with Him to live and breathe and have my being, and in Him you know, I find everything that I need, and in Him, as I trust Him, and as I look at Him, He becomes my strong tower. He becomes my refuge. He becomes my shield. He becomes my provider. He becomes my all in all. You find that as you decide, I'm never going to stop looking at you. I'm never going to disconnect, and yet it's so easy to think, oh, got it, I've got it. I'm, you know, I used to do it with Campbell. Where's Campbell over there? Bless him. But you can do it with any child. Any child will do. You say, can you get something from the kitchen for me? And they go, yeah, and they run off to the kitchen. And then when they get there, they realize, oh, I don't know why I'm in the kitchen. They come back. We're so quick sometimes to do the thing we think we should be doing that we haven't stopped long enough to really find out why and what it is and what is needed. And I believe that God wants us to learn to rest and to wait and to allow Him to fill us with what we need for every circumstance and every situation. Let me read that again. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. And I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and the incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above rule, authority, power, or dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. You could see God carried away when he was writing that, and it's hard not to see why, because that's what He wants to do for us.